today on Real Radio.
He doesn't want any of that stuff if you're going to be grumpy about it. I love the practicality of God is awesome. If you're going to whine about it, God says, just will you keep it? Heaven can't stand that kind of quench.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this epistle, but for the past several broadcasts, Pastor Jack has been bringing us a new series within a series that focuses on parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10. It's all about the scriptural worldview of giving, and we're not dealing with the giving of money only. It could be time, maybe talent, as well as treasure, and we are to give with a cheerful heart, as the Bible says. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his multi-part series called Giving What's Been Given.
And I want you to think about the title as you write it down in your notes, as you write it down in the margins of your Bible, Giving What's Been Given. You can't give a thing away unless you've received something, period. There's truly nothing that you and I own. If you think about it, it's been given to us. Whatever you have. You say, no, I earned everything I have. No. Listen, you worked hard. You were smart. You did a good job. Great. We applaud you for it. But God gave you the lungs. God gave you the brains. God gave you the opportunities. In fact, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Do you ever think about that? Sometimes we think that we need to deliver a fire and brimstone message to get somebody to come to Christ. And you know, that actually does sometimes get people to come to Christ. Sometimes it takes that. But the Bible most often talks about the goodness of God leading a person to conversion. So you think about that today if you're not a Christian. But this message is certainly for the Christian. And it's about giving. And I'm going to give you two hallmark foundational verses from these two chapters as we close out this topic. In chapter 8 that we studied previously, if there's an anchor verse about giving, it's found in chapter 8, verse 9. Look at it there with me. There Paul says to the Corinthian believers, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," that is, he inhabited eternity, he dwelt in heaven, he's God the Son, nothing is beyond his scope. "Yet for your sakes," yours and mine, "he became poor." It's a choice. He did that. He left heaven to come to earth. He came from absolute eternal riches in all areas to abject poverty, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Awesome verse. That is the foundation of chapter 8. If you're looking at a foundational verse for chapter 9, let's sneak ahead. It's in verse 7. "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And I want you to just mark that down. As we read through this, and we'll cover that verse again, keep that in mind. God wants you as a Christian to not be a giver, listen, not be a giver of energy, not be a giver of your passion, not be a giver of your hard work or your good deeds or your money or your time. He doesn't want any of that stuff if you're going to be grumpy about it. I love the practicality of God is awesome. If you're going to whine about it, God says, just will you keep it? Heaven can't stand that kind of quench. If you're going to scream about giving up a half an hour to help somebody out or come down and vacuum the sanctuary or pull weeds in the parking lot area, if you're going to grumble about it, God says, I can find someone else to do that. Please don't do that. He's so good that way. He wants what's real. So do you, by the way. Don't you? You don't want somebody to say, all right, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm calling to tell you I love you. Bye. Don't call. Right? Who needs that? You and I appreciate relationship when it's real and authentic. How much more God? So let's not fool ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning out verse 6, Paul says to them, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly," remember what it means, "tight-fistedly, will also reap tight-fistedly." You'll hardly get anything back. "And he who sows bountifully as a blessing will also reap bountifully." It's a law of nature. It's a law of the Spirit. "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things," isn't that a beautiful mouthful, "may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While," listen, verse 11, "you are enriched in everything for all liberality," generosity, "which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service or ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints," he's referring to those in Jerusalem who were hurting and others were taking up a collection for them, "but also is abounding through many thanksgivings," plural, "to God. While through this proof," or the proof of this ministry, "they glorify God," number one, "look for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and number two, for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you." Verse 15 is awesome. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You ought to underline verse 15 in case I forget to tell you later. You ought to underline that. That is the culmination, that is the summation of the mathematics of giving. That God has given us his indescribable gift. I'll give you one guess through our study, not what that might be, but who that is. Absolutely. Awesome. Note takers, number one, this is what we're looking at. Giving what's been given is found in verses 6 through 11, and it's this: joyful. Joyful. Joyful giving blesses the giver. And we're going to spend some time here because it's very important, and then we'll move on through the other points quickly. But it's an absolute fact. Joyful giving blesses the giver. Now, can I just dump this on you right now? Because I had someone mention this to me, and I had to tell them, you need to repent. So I'll give you the opportunity in advance. Joyful giving blesses the giver. Someone will be tempted today to say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I don't ask anything for myself from the Lord. I just pray for others." Well, that's not biblical. Jesus says when you pray and you say, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are supposed to pray for others, and we're supposed to pray for ourselves. Don't take some spiritual, or I should say man-made spiritual high road and say, "Well, you know, I hear this message, but I'm a joyful giver, and God, it's okay, pass over me." Listen, if you insist, then Lord, I'll pray, whatever you are going to give them and me, give it all to me. Why? Because I can't do anything without him. And the Bible tells us over and over again, and we'll read it soon, that whatever God gives, it's good. And he wants to give us things like wisdom, understanding. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us joy. Look, we need that. And God wants us as a church to be a radical, love, spirit-filled, dynamic body of believers. But that cannot happen unless each of us are blessed as God defines the blessing. Can I say that clearly? I'm not talking about you blab it and grab it and run away with it. I'm talking about God defining in your life and mine how or what he wants us to be blessed with. It could be that you and I, though we may think we need something in the way of a blessing, it's actually God wants to bestow upon us good health or great relationships or fill in the blank. We're not to dictate to him. The greatest thing that you and I could do is say, "Lord, you do to me what you want to do to me. And Father knows best." Amen? Joyful giving blesses the giver. Verses 6 there, it says, but this, he says, the guy who sows sparingly, tight-fistedly, is going to reap sparingly. He's not condemning you. Remember, I mentioned this last time. Paul's not saying, you know what, if you sow sparingly, you know, boy, dude, you know, wow. No, no, he's just giving you a true natural law in science, which is also a spiritual law. Remember, if you have a few seeds, you throw out those few seeds, and you're going to keep a bunch of seeds for you for what? I don't know, put them on your mantle, frame them, whatever, but you're not putting them into the soil, then you're only going to get a few plants back. That's the way it works. But the person who sows generously, bountifully, remember what the word means? He who sows a blessing, I like this because in these two chapters, relax, those of you who are feeling a little bit under pressure or whatever about this topic, nowhere in chapters 8 and 9 does Paul mention the word money or currency at all. Did the church in Corinth send to the hurting church in Jerusalem money? Probably, but not all. Maybe they sent seeds. Maybe they sent, I don't know. And that's a great thing for us because God doesn't want your money in lieu of your time. He doesn't want your time in lieu of your energies. No, no, no. I'm talking to the Christian. What does God want? Everything. All of it. He gave it to you. It all belongs to Him. You and I are to manage it for His glory, and that's vitally important. So the Bible tells us that this truth is something that you and I can observe about sowing sparingly or tight-fisted or sowing or broadcasting seed liberally. It determines the outcome. It determines the very harvest. As a Christian, that's a great picture for us to remember. What God has given us, we should be lavishing back at God and letting God do with it as He so chooses. It is an absolute miraculous thing that what we see in nature, God speaks about regarding the spiritual realm. And you are a Christian today, either holding it back, and again, how silly would it be to frame seed on your wall or put it in a jar on your mantle? Get it out of there and get it to work. Let it do what God engineered and caused it to do. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:24, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but that leads to poverty. Verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. That's a law of God. And Paul is saying as a church, we ought to be like that. And as a giver, we can expect God to bless back. I want you to hear me now. Don't take this the wrong way. As we get involved in what God is calling us to do, as givers, to however God leads you to give, God will bless you back. But I'm not saying God will bless you back, give, give, so God will bless you back. I'd like to say what Dr. Ray Steadman said. If you're a Christian today and you are desiring to give to God so that you might get something back and you end the conversation there, woe unto you. But if you're the kind of Christian who says, God, I want to give so that you'll give me back. Remember what God says, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing more. Why? So I might reinvest again what you give so that what you give back to that, I'm going to give that again. And what you give to me, I'm going to give that. Do you see the principle to this? God says, give it to me, I'll give it back to you more. He doesn't do that to satisfy our lust. He won't do that. He will do that. Are you listening? Yeah. He will do that because He has found your heart faithful and willing to comply with His divine natural law of God's science. And He wants to use you to bless other people. So what does He do? He has found you faithful. And if you give Him three seeds, so to speak, He gives you seven back. Okay, so you'd keep three and you send out four. You got that? Once, again, and again, and again, and again, God has found you faithful. And you become an amazing middleman for the kingdom of God in whatever that thing may be. Could be time. Could be your love effort, your doing. It could be finances. It could be your brilliance. Maybe you're a great engineer or whatever it is. I thank God, and God knows I need them, that in this culture of ours and what this particular church goes out on the front and speaks out about, I have attorneys. You should see my phone. In speed dial, I count it. I have 11 attorneys. And each of them handle a different issue. They're all Christians. And more often, in fact, almost all of them do what they do for the kingdom of God for free. That's them giving. You might be here today and you're a tire dealership. And God has called you to bless the body of Christ and to even use your tire dealership as a witness to the unbelievers. Everything that we have belongs to God. The Bible tells us, and listen, you may say, well, easy for you to say, you can afford that. Listen, I'm very happy to tell you that all of us are extremely rich right now. Every one of us. And I'll prove it. Are you ready? It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Think of that. That is an awesome verse. You ought to put that on your dashboard of your car or tattoo it to your dog or your kids. That is an awesome verse. Why? It answers everything. We're paupers. We've got nothing. But listen, our God has everything. And here's what it's announcing to us. In fact, it's all based upon the wealth of Christ. Have you ever heard of, in fact, fill it in, banking? When it comes to banking transactions, there's the B of A. The B of A. What does that stand for? B of A, what? Bank of America. This is the B of G. The Bank of God. So what do you mean by that? Listen, as a Christian, God has promised in our ministry life as believers, remember the Bible assumes that all of us are serving one another as Christians. Okay, for those of you who are visiting and you're not sure if you should come back, I'll help you make a decision to not come back. Christians who go here, look around and see if you see somebody you don't recognize. Maybe they're new. Tackle them. Tackle them safely, don't hurt them. But as they're going to their car or whatever, listen, go to them. Minister, watch this, minister to them, watch. You go and minister to them. Hey, how are you? I don't know you. My name's Jack, what's your name? Nice to meet you. God bless you. We all can do this. Are you willing to do it? If you can't do that, you're not willing to do anything. You got to get out of your comfort zone. You can't grow anything in your comfort zone. Because our comfort zone is me, myself, and I, and four walls don't crowd my space. Thank God Jesus didn't come like that. Don't talk to me. Can you imagine? So here's your homework, church. Those of you who attend here, love on somebody. Love them. And what are you doing? You are giving what's been given to you. Because, sure, this church should be loving on you. But even if nobody in this church says hi to you, Jesus has loved on you enough by going to the cross. He rose again from the grave so that you would have entrance to heaven if you would trust in him. He loves you. And you think about what he has given. And God was blessed by the reaping, think of it, of the salvation of souls that came through the offering of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that joyful giving blesses the giver. It's a spiritual model. And God is faithful to do that. And by the way, getting involved like the farmer does in the soil. The Christian getting involved puts you and I in the ministry together. You'll never enjoy the fruits of the field unless you get into the ministry of it all. Think of that. When the Bible tells us here in verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes. You decide in your heart. Oh, and by the way, don't give grudgingly, grumpy. Don't be a grumpy giver. The word means to be made grievous. So, we're praising the Lord, and it's time to take time to receive the tithes and offerings, and you go, oh, man, just keep it. There's people wanting to give because God's been so good to them, they understand that, and if they could, they'd give more. If they could, they would jump inside the basket themselves. Thank you, God, you're amazing. And then you're like this, oh, how am I going to live without this nickel? Heaven, you can hear the brakes in heaven slamming on. Don't mess it up. Keep it. Don't be grieved about giving. God doesn't want it. So, okay, that's good to hear. Yeah, it gets better. Or of necessity. The word means to feel pressured. By the way, remember, I'm going to use every chance. This is my last chance to say it. I do it every time on this series. Anybody pressures you to give money to a ministry, walk away. Anybody tells you, if you don't give your money, man, this ministry is going to fold, let it fold. Okay? Anytime you feel pressured to give, God's not in that. So if you, listen, that goes for self-imposed pressure too. Oh man, oh brother, if I go to church, then I gotta give. No, you don't. Officially, we want to announce, we don't want your money. By God's grace, we don't need your money. Here's the cool thing. God is inviting you to join him on a work that he wants to do. If you don't believe in the work, don't invest in it. If you do, invest in it. It's God's pattern. So be free, whatever you decide. And then the word cheerful. We get that word, as I mentioned before, hilarious. It's the Greek word hilarious. It's where we get our English word hilarious. God wants you happy about giving. And that is a decision you make. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, said this, I have tried to keep things in my hands and I've lost them all. But what I've given to God, I still possess. That is exactly true. In verse 8, we read about the power of God. It says, and God is able. I have that underlined and marked in my Bible. God is able. He's the one that's able. To do what? To make all grace abound toward you. Church, do you want grace in your life? I do. I need it. So do you. Why? Why do I need more grace and abounding in my life? That you, us, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Translation, and we'll move on. Amazing. God, watch everybody. God, I am willing, starting today, to be someone that you can use. Count me faithful, Lord. I dedicate all I have to you now. And Lord, as I do that, may I honor you. And in doing that, watch, as you do it, God winds up blessing you more with whatever he defines as blessing. Do you hear me? I'm not talking money. Whatever he defines, he's the sovereign decider over that. But what's the cycle, or what's the lifespan of it?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given. It's a multi-part series taken from parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 2 Corinthians on the all-important topic of giving. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember, we're making this series available on DVD. It's a 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. And of course, if you've been following this series, you know what we mean by tools. Our offer? For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of pretty much what you've been hearing here on the radio. Call, click, or write, just be sure to mention it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us and ask for it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given, our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. By the way, have you subscribed to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions yet? Remember, they'll show up in your inbox every Monday. Yesterday's Real Life Devotion was a good one. Find out more, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.